Perfect. Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio, and I am your host. My name is Tariq Nasheed, and I'm glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to have a good conversation, a good topic for tonight. We're talking about the ultimate victimless crime. What does that mean? We're going to get into it later on the show, but what we're going to do now, family, I want y'all to inform everybody that we're on live right now, and while you're doing that, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, so don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Check out StraightBlackLove.com. That is a dating site slash app dedicated to connecting straight black singles who are serious about finding somebody to build with. The platform is free to use, but it does have some premium features. The newest feature is an anti-catfishing feature, which allows the user to verify that they are the person in the pictures, and they will get a verification badge. So you need to connect with an empowerment mate right now at StraightBlackLove.com. Attention parents and teachers, are you looking for something that will educate and relate to our children? If so, you need to order the Gifted and Lit bundle today. Gifted and Lit, that's an educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. This bundle includes two DVDs, two CDs, a coloring book, and a workbook. Order your copies right now at giftedandlit.com. Again, that's giftedandlit.com. What's up, family? We're finally beginning to get on code for justice and economic empowerment, and now we gotta make our empowerment a lifestyle. So I introduce to you On Code Clothing. On Code Clothing is our thing, all black, everything, and fly. But make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and it's not for everyone. You gotta be grassroots aligned and in the know to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. So check us out now at OnCodeClothing.com. Sign up and save 10% and enjoy free shipping on most orders. Again, that's OnCodeClothing.com. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com. What's up, family? If you make music, then you already know that summertime is the best time to release new music. Reach out to my guys at LegendaryMix.com and turn your song into the next summer anthem and your whole album into the next summer soundtrack. LegendaryMix.com has the experience you need to get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the board, their expertise is off the charts. They deliver professional audio mixing, mastering for a great price and a fast turnaround time. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com and learn how to save on your order. Also, receive free music ebooks. Don't hesitate. Start today. Visit LegendaryMix.com or send a text to 347-565-5892 or shoot them an email at music@LegendaryMix.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. there is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, everybody. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Shout out to everybody who checked out the trailer for Hidden Colors 5. Everybody's loving the trailer for Hidden Colors 5, The Art of Black Warfare. That movie will be in theaters nationwide one day only in most cities, and that's Thursday, August 1st. Thursday, August 1st. That's in a couple of months from now. In some cities, it's going to be Friday, like New York City. The tickets for New York are on sale now. All my New Yorkers, the tickets for the New York screening is on sale now. There's going to be two big screenings at the SVA Theater Friday, August 2nd. Friday, August 2nd, we're having two big showings there. And the tickets are flying off the shelves now. So you guys go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and get that. Los Angeles, again, we're having the world premiere, the Hollywood premiere, Wednesday, July 31st. That's the Hollywood premiere. My LA people, you will be the first people on the planet to see HC5. And then the next day, Thursday, is going to be in Atlanta, Boston, Baltimore. Yeah, we added Baltimore to the list, to the Senator Theater. It's going to be all over the place. So you guys go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Now, I do want to have it in the Bay. My Bay Area people, we're still looking for a theater. If you're in the Bay Area, my Bay Area people, please email me. Let me know of any independent theaters that we can get with and chop it up with and get the film out there. The Bay Area is really hollering at me. Also, Detroit. We still need a place for Detroit. My Detroit people, holler at me. Let me know if there's a theater out there in the Detroit area that we can get. And just don't throw in another thing. Black folks, we start throwing random names out and you don't know the business dealings of the place. Please don't just email me throwing out some random names. Kind of do your research. I want some people who's in the know, people who've done some kind of business with folks, and you know their standards of operation. You know if they're available. You know what I'm saying? Let me know that, all my Detroit people and my Bay Area people. Let me know. All right. And go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. This thing is going to be popping. This is the movie of the decade. And it's very important that everybody goes to see this film. Because we got to understand, on social media, they're already grumbling about deplatforming people. They're already talking about deplatforming people. And you got to understand the words that these suspected white supremacists like to use. Just like how they talked about banning conspiracy theorists and all these people. Then they ended up banning Farrakhan from Facebook and Instagram. So they really want to target us, but they want to, you know, cover it up with, we want to ban all types of extreme content. So they're really targeting us. I know there were some news reports coming out saying they want to ban supremacists from YouTube and the like. So they didn't specify white supremacists in some of the media articles I saw. They said different types of supremacists. Now, what the hell are different types of supremacists? You can't have multiple supremacists because that's an That's an oxymoron. That's a contradiction of terms. You can't have multiple supremacist groups. Supreme means no higher than, end all be all, the zenith, the height. So there cannot be multiple supremacists. It's a contradiction. So a lot of these media articles, they specifically didn't say white supremacists because that's the only supremacy there is. There is no other supremacy than white supremacy. If there is, somebody pointed out. I'm talking about in practice. I ain't talking about just some damn words. Anybody can say, well, I'm a Martian supremacist. You can say that, but do you have the muscle to back it up? Can you set up shop on the planet Mars and get it popping? The white supremacists can. The white supremacists can do that. Because I've heard people try to use the term black supremacist to counter white supremacists. Because the thing is, you know, we got the term white supremacy being spoken a lot in the public lexicon. And a lot of people, they try to attribute that to me. And I got it from Dr. Welsing and Neely Fuller using that term in the proper context. That's where I got it from. But a lot of people attribute that to me, but I got it from them. And I guess I'm one of the first people to do it consistently on international television. I'm probably the only person to get on international television, not just national, international television, and use the term white supremacy repeatedly in the right context. Now, I do it over here on American television when I can, and then they turn my mic off. But when I'm over there in the UK and when I'm abroad and I'm dealing with the international media, oh, I'm speaking that thing. You understand? So that term has now become very common. Now we're putting a face on systematic racism, because the only form of systematic racism is white supremacy. So when you, the white supremacists, they like to muddy up the waters. They like to talk about these abstract types of racism, like racial tension, racial animosity. What the hell is that? Racial tension is white supremacy. Who's tense? The victims of white supremacy. That's who's tense? The victims. There's no racial tension. You have systematic white supremacy, racial domination. See, they always try to make racism, white supremacy, seem like it's some kind of equal phenomenon that affects different groups the same way. That it can victimize certain groups as if certain groups have equal power to the white supremacists, and that's a lie. That's why they like to use terms like race riots when they talk about certain incidents that happened during Jim Crow in America, like Tulsa, Oklahoma. They love framing things like Tulsa, Oklahoma as a race riot. That wasn't a race riot. That was a racial extermination. They came out there and racially and ethnically cleansed that area, and they dropped bombs on those black people there. There was no race riot. Race riot gives the impression that there was some type of equal militaristic force on both sides, and it was a bunch of innocent, unarmed black people just getting wiped out and bombed because of white supremacists' jealousy of black people being successful. Wasn't no damn race riot. See, watch these words they use. That was a Holocaust. We have to start using words in the proper context. See, the thing is, they use terms like race riot and all that because that de-victimizes the black victims of these crimes. And that's the theme of today's show. The ultimate victimless crime. White supremacy, it's always looked at as a victimless crime. Black people are never supposed to be portrayed as victims. No matter how much you brutalize them, no matter how unfairly you brutalize them, black people are never supposed to be looked at as victims. That's why when you talk about a race riot, that there's no victims in that, because everybody's fighting and the black folks just came out as the losers. So when you use race riot, that de-victimizes the people. They massacred people. So we have to understand the terms that should be used properly and not let them control the narrative. We have to learn how to control the narrative. I think with this week, earlier this week, there was a black man, a 26-year-old black man out there in Utah. And I'm still trying to research why this brother was out in Utah, why he was living there, and why any black people living in damn Utah. There's a 26-year-old black man, and the brother was autistic. And he got into some altercation, I think, with a white woman, some 18-year-old white woman. They got into an altercation, and they said they were fighting. And some random white man came through, another white vigilante, and came through and just shot the autistic black man. This happened in, Provo, Utah. I think that's the name of the city. But came and shot and killed the black autistic brother. And not only are they not going to charge the suspected white supremacists for doing this vigilante murder, they're protecting him. They're not releasing his name or the name of the white woman that fought the autistic black man. So they got on code. And they're not portraying him as a victim. I don't know the ins and outs of the fight. It couldn't have been that severe. Sounds like this white woman provoked this guy and got him into some kind of altercation to justify harming him. But they killed this brother, and they're not charging the white supremacist suspect who did it, and they're protecting him. And even the media, the way they are describing this case. I want y'all to look this up. Look up how they are describing it. They're like, a concerned citizen intervened in a fight. A passerby intervened in a fight. I mean, they're using these real soft, almost heroic terms for the white supremacist suspect who did this murder. This concerned citizen, they're on code. These people are majorly on code. And another thing, we got to protect our special needs brothers and sisters out here. I don't know why this brother was out there in damn Utah. And whoever his family is, they know he has special needs. We got to look out for our folks. We have to look out for our people. Yeah, we're all the Autism Speaks people. You notice when something happens, they talk all this Autism Speaks this and Autism Speaks that. But when something like this happens, you don't hear nothing from these damn people. I remember when 50, he kind of poked fun. It was an autistic white guy at an airport, and 50 kind of poked fun at him because I think 50 thought the guy was drunk, 50 Cent. And all the Autism Speak people, they were really getting on 50's case, trying to get him to apologize. So they came out the woodworks for that. So we got to understand all of these folks are on code in every walks of life. Women's groups, handicap advocate groups, all of them get on the white supremacist code because that's the thing that codifies all of them. They can all put their differences aside to practice anti-black racism and stay on code against us. We should have been on code. We still ain't really on code like we need to be. We got folks out here scared and acting silly. And these folks are waging war on us, and Negroes out here doing the Beyonce challenge in just nigga shit. We got to get real, and we got to get on code, and we got to have a warlike mentality so that we can at least defend our children. And this thing is getting crazy from top to bottom. There was another story about a brother, and this is another thing, our brother's in jail. I'm always concerned about our brother's lockdown. You know, we got to put our heads together and come up with ways to get these brothers up out of this prison slave system, because these prisons are going to just turn into concentration camps. We really got to be more concerned with our brothers behind these walls. See, we start thinking like the damn white supremacist. Well, he go to jail. He probably did something to go up in there. We got to be more concerned about our people behind them walls. Because, again, they're going to start turning these jails and prisons into just straight up concentration camps where they're just going to liquidate the people. So we got to be very concerned about that. But there was a brother, I wish I had his name in front of me. I think this was in New Jersey. But this brother, He went to jail, and he was an army vet. Brother in excellent shape. Swole brother, excellent shape. So they arrested this brother on an outstanding DUI warrant. He goes to jail, and he ends up dead in jail a couple of days later. Now, this happened a year ago, and his family, you know, the story, they're still talking about it because the family's still trying to get answers. So the brother ended up dead in jail. They said that one of the causes of death is he was beating his head up against the cell, something stupid. And then when they did an autopsy, this brother's organs were missing. This brother's brain was missing, his heart was missing, and his throat was missing. Y'all Google that right now. See, they can't explain none of that. See, they can kind of play certain things off. Like, yeah, after, you know, somebody died, the heart, they might take the heart out. You can't explain all them damn organs being missing. And this brother is he's the picture of health. There was nothing wrong with the dude. Yeah, they got that dude's throat. Family, I really wish we understand how real this thing is. I really wish we understood. And what's ironic, we talk about this stuff in HC5 deep. We go deep. We talk about, even if in the trailer, we touched on that a little bit. We touched on that a little bit. And look, there's, for years, in those East Coast prisons especially, and just not just the East Coast, I'm not going to put it on just the East Coast, but all over, but there's been verified facts showing that those prisons out there, like in Philadelphia, they've done experiments on black folks, black men in particular. Go get the book Acres of Skin. It talks about these Philadelphia prisons there, and they're doing all types of Frankenstein experiments on brothers, all types of testing and organ harvesting. And I mean, this thing is real. This thing is real. So we got to understand that once we walk out the door, we got to stop playing so much and understand when we walk out that door, we're going into a war zone. Out there in Louisville, Kentucky, there was a situation where an Asian restaurant owner, he was at a Kroger's parking lot. He kidnapped a little black child at gunpoint. Nobody knows why. He just got some random little black child and took the child by his arm at gunpoint to his restaurant. And then there was a crowd of black people like, hey, let him go. And the black people were arguing with this guy, and the Asian guy brandished his gun and pointed the gun at the black child. And I put this video on my social media, and they were arguing back and forth with this Asian guy. And I'm like, man, if y'all don't bust him in the head with a brick, damn, I know he got a gun. And it turned out the gun was a BB gun. Still doesn't matter. This was in Louisville, Kentucky. This happened this week. And I'm looking at black folks out there like, y'all ain't going to rush this. This dude has he just kidnapped a black kid. And he's talking in Asian, in some kind of Asian language, so nobody knows what the hell the deal was. And the guy got arrested. He's a 58-year-old man. His name was Asian man Chin, Fabio Chin, something like that. He got arrested, and they charged him with kidnapping. What else? It was some other little weak charges, and they gave him a $20,000 cash bond. They gave him a $20,000 cash bond, which is a slap on the wrist. But just the fact that black folks didn't really go in on that dude, just sitting up there negotiating with him, and this dude just kidnapped a black kid. And what's interesting, I bet a bunch of black people will be lined up going to that damn restaurant tomorrow to get some of that damn orange rat. That Kung Pao pigeon. I bet they will be lined up tomorrow to get all that stuff. You dig? But the interesting thing about this story is not just that. The interesting thing is how the media is portraying it. That's the interesting thing, how the media is portraying it. My mods, we got a lot of white supremacist trolls in the room. My mods, I really need y'all to get on them. The white supremacist trolls in the room are, they're just posting up a lot of garbage. So y'all watch the white supremacist trolls in the room. They're doing their best. Ever since we've announced that HC5 is coming out, they've really, really been angry. So they're reduced to doing little goofy stuff like they're doing in the room right now. They're just posting up a bunch of garbage. They're using like little bots to post up garbage in the room. That's fear. That's fear right there. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're witnessing is white supremacists and their minions, anti-black hatred, fear right there. So fam, get on them. But y'all not going to stop the message. We're still going to talk about what we're talking about. This is why, again, like I said, some of these social media sites, yeah, the mayonnaise militia, they're very triggered right now. The mods in here, but it's just so many white supremacist trolls. They're using bots right now. They're using some kind of bots in the chat room. So don't worry about it, guys. But, oh yeah, let me do that. Let me try that. Hold on. Somebody said something. They gave me an idea. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. For those listening live on the playback, let me try to get the white supremacists. Let me quell them a little bit. Hold on 1 second. Because they're in here heavy. But again, I'm still talking about that case in Kentucky. I don't want to get lost on that. While I'm doing this, let me get this thing cracking real quick. And by the way, while I'm doing this, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1 through 4. Get Hidden Colors 1 through 4, and you'll be caught up by the time Hidden Colors 5 come out. Okay, well, 1 second. Let me get this thing. Y'all bear with me 1 second because the white supremacists in the chat room just going nuts. And by the way, for those who have not seen the trailer, you can see that on the Tariq Radio channel. You can see the trailer for HC5 on the Tariq Radio channel, ladies and gentlemen. And also what I'm going to talk about later on the show, I'm going to talk about the When They See Us movie too. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later on the broadcast tonight. Now my thing is acting real slow. Hold on 1 second. All right. Okay, let me do this. All right. Okay, cool. Had to do that, so now I'm good to go. All right. Okay, good. Let me quell some of these white supremacists from being in the room. Okay. I think we should be good to go. All right, I think we should be good to go, family. I think we're good to go. All right. Now, let me see where we are. Let me take a look in the room and see if we still have the white supremacists. Okay, there we go. We good now. There we go. All right, we had to get the mayonnaise militia out the room. All right, we got the mayonnaise militia out the room, so we are good to go. All right. So, like I was talking about that case up there in Louisville, the most interesting thing about the case with the kid is the way the media is portraying it. Because see, remember, we have to look at white supremacy and the collective. We have to look at anti-black racism and see who's all complicit in it. See, a lot of times we make the mistake of just focusing on the one anti-black culprit. And then we ignore all the other peripheral people who's around assisting and maintaining and helping and offering cover for the anti-black races. See, we have to make them accountable just like they make us accountable for every crime a black person commits. They make us accountable. But the white media out there, they're getting on code. And instead of portraying this black kidnapping victim, this black child as a victim, look at the words that they're using when describing this. If you look up the story about the kidnapping out there in Louisville, they keep referring to the black child as a juvenile. That's very deliberate. This kid wasn't he didn't commit a crime or nothing. He didn't do anything. But they keep deliberately using the word juvenile to describe this poor little child that was terrified and kidnapped by some crazed anti-black Asian. This poor kid was kidnapped, and they're talking about where the juvenile went to the store, where the juvenile was in the parking lot, and the juvenile was being, you know, they were trying to help the juvenile. They kept using the term juvenile. Juvenile is associated with crime, and they're doing that very deliberately. A juvenile, that's associated with criminality. Oh, yeah, they did the same thing with Trayvon. Watch it. Watch these words that they use, family. Just like Neely Fuller told us, the white supremacists are very good on using words first. That's how they get us. They trip us up with words. They know what words to use and what words not to use. And they do not use words that put black people in a victim position. Because remember, white supremacy is a victimless crime. We're not victims. If black people are victims, that means somebody's culpable, and they have to punish the people that's culpable for making black people victims, and they're not going to do that. So we have to make black people non-victims at all cost. So using the term juvenile, and you never see them use that term for white kids. A white child can shoot up, or a white teen can shoot up a school, a church, a synagogue, and they will not use the term juvenile. They will still put that youth in a victim mode. Well, the mentally ill lone wolf, the loner, he was a loner, he was mentally ill. Even if he's 38 years old, the boy, the child, he's a child. Remember when the white boys went down there, they were on the swim team, they were down there in Brazil acting a damn fool and lying and getting caught up down there, and they got in trouble out there lying and just being on some bullshit. And the media was like, well, they're just being boys. Those kids, those boys, that they're just horsing around. They're boys. They're just down there, boys being boys. Now, these dudes were in their damn 30s. All of them were 30-something years old, and they're talking about they're just boys will be boys. You dig? So we have to learn how to counter that, counter their words, and not let their words get into our lexicon. And another thing they were doing, this is something real slick that the media was doing as far as this story in Louisville. They were saying, well, a lot of business owners around the area, they've been complaining about youths coming around there harassing the businesses. They threw that in the stories. Now, that didn't have anything to do with this man kidnapping this little boy. This boy didn't have anything to do with that. But you see what they'll do? They'll throw something out there and then make a false equivalency to it. Just like with Trayvon. With Trayvon Martin, they kept saying, well, there have been a rash of burglaries in George Zimmerman's neighborhood. So they were falsely making a false equivalency to Trayvon Martin and these unknown crimes that may or may not even have happened before. They'll just throw out some boogeyman crimes that probably didn't even happen, but they were making the false equivalency to justify harming black people. Same thing with the Central Park Five, by the way. Same thing with the Central Park Five. The prosecutors, they knew that those boys didn't commit that crime because there was no DNA evidence and nothing. So they coerced them and force them into making fake confessions, as we saw in the movie. But the thing is, you got to understand this. In the system of white supremacy, you got to be on code. Black people, including black children, they're always the victim. So you're always going to be protected for harming black children. If you harm black children or allow black children to get harmed, you'll still be protected. You'll still be on code because the black kid might have been innocent at the moment, but he was going to be a criminal anyway. That's their mentality. He was going to commit a crime sooner or later. I mean, come on, he's black. So you just got him before he could commit a crime. That's that Rudy Giuliani garbage. When he said he start locking folks up before they committed crimes, and he needs to get a pat on the back for stopping crime because he would lock all the people up before they committed the crimes. That's that white supremacist, I'm white and I say so garbage. You understand? That's why we can't rationalize with these white supremacists. There's no rationalizing with these folks. That's the thing that drives black folks crazy. We start studying all these laws and just breaking our brains, going to law school and all this old stuff. And at the end of the day, they can trump all that. They can trump all your law degrees with I'm white and I say so. That simple. You can go study and then you can go put on a fez. A lot of dudes are like, well, you need to understand your status. And as a more, we got to, all right, you can put your fez on and go study all them books and go get a certificate in all these classes. Study for years, and then they're going to hit you with, I'm white and I say so. They keep hitting you with, I'm white and I say so. But the thing is, it's okay to allow black children to be harmed. But if you're a person in the dominant white society, you better not let a white kid get harmed or a number of white kids get harmed. Did y'all hear about the school cop down there at Parkland High School in Florida? You know, when they had that school shooting out there, all those white kids got shot. It was like 17 white kids got shot and killed out there. The school police officer, because a lot of those cops were out there hiding and ducking. They didn't want no smoke because a lot of these people that they put on the police force, a lot of these people, let's be real, a lot of them are cowardly. This is why they do these cowardly ambush shootings on black folks and black children in particular. See, the thing with black people, we're getting hit with these ambushes. They're ambushing us. They're doing ambush killings on unarmed, unsuspecting black people, which is the most cowardly thing you can do if you are a powerful person. Now, if you are a powerless person, ambushing is the best way to go if you are powerless, because that's your only way of retaliating. But if you are a powerful person, you have the whole entire military backing you up, and you out here doing cowardly ambush hits on people, that's cowardly. And that's why they're very sensitive themselves. They'll to ambush hits. They're very sensitive to that because you can't protect yourself from an ambush hit. That's the one thing that no matter how much you train, no matter how much you fight in the woods and run around with your gun and, you know, do all the target, you cannot protect yourself from an ambush hit at all. Ambush hits are perfectly fine when the white supremacists are doing it. When they're ambushing people, they're fine. The person you ambushed, the little 12-year-old child that you ambushed, well, they deserved it. The woman that you ambushed, the black woman, she deserved it. You ambush a white person, oh my God, this cowardly, heinous crime. Well, everybody should be cowardly. One group shouldn't be cowardly. It's only cowardly if you have all the power in the world and you're still reduced to ambushing unarmed people. But that's the thing they don't like. You cannot protect yourself from an ambush hit. That's what they did in Haiti. They were hitting asses up with all those ambush hit and run hits. You understand? But down in Parkland, one of the cops, he got arrested. They charged him with a whole bunch of counts, like 11 counts, because they charged him with negligence, because they're like, he didn't do anything to stop all those white kids from getting killed. So he got off. To them, that's getting off code. Remember, you're supposed to protect white children with all your resources. You protect white children with your life. You're supposed to protect white children with your life. So they're reprimanding. He didn't kill those white kids, but notice they got him with 11 charges, 11 counts, and he didn't even kill them. He just allowed them to get killed. He just hid while they got killed. They were like, look, white Negro, look here, white Negro, you can let the black kids get killed or you can even kill them. We'll protect you. But you better not let a white child spill blood and you don't do nothing. So they're getting him for getting off code. They're getting him for being off code. They're making an example out of him. They are making an example out of him. Because understand, the 14 words, that whole we must ensure a future for white children and all that old stuff, it's just not white extremists who believe that. It's just not the white extremists who believe that. The entire dominant society believe that. That's why white kids can do no wrong. A white kid cannot get in trouble. I went to school with white kids. Those white kids would do any and everything and never, ever, ever get in trouble. That's something that I learned at a very young age. I picked that up at a young age, and thankfully I did, because I said, wait a minute, whoa. That's the thing that made me want to study racism at a young age. I'm like, why in the hell are these dudes being treated differently than me? I know whenever I would do something or me and my friends do something, we get suspended, expelled. They had the maximum punishment for black children, and most black children don't understand. You don't know. You're like, oh, damn, what? I must have did something. I must be bad. If they're punishing me like this, I must be a really bad kid. Then black children start internalizing that. I said, wait a damn minute. I knew something wasn't right with that. Like, why am I getting suspended? Why am I in the principal's office? And my little white friends, these dudes be calling up to the school making bomb threats. These dudes be bringing cigarettes. I mean, we're in elementary school. These kids are doing the most. And the teacher don't, they be like, go sit down, Billy. They get a sit down, Billy, and I got to go to the office. Then my mom got to come up there and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, wait, so something is up here. Something is up here. I'm getting written up and they recommending behavioral drugs to me. Yeah, man, back in the day, we're trying to give me Ritalin and all. I'm like, whoa, they trying to dope me up? Man, them white kids be bringing all types of dope, guns, knives. These white boys used to bring all types of goddamn knives to school. These dudes brought hunting, because I went to school down in Alabama. I was down in Birmingham and Leeds, Alabama. And these white boys would bring hunting knives to school and wouldn't even go to the principal's office. The teacher knew. So I knew, well, something ain't right here. Something ain't right here. Something ain't right. So the thing is, the white kids can do no wrong, because, again, the white supremacists are in survival mode. So children have to be protected. White children have to be protected all day. White children have to be protected. And black kids have to be targeted and punished with the maximum force. Like down there in Louisiana right now, that sagging pants law, that we knew where that was going. I saw a report that came out the other day. They're talking about the sagging pants law that's down there in Louisiana. And it's targeting 98% of the people is targeting a black man. Duh. Of course it's targeting black. That's what the law was for. The law was really to target black men anyway. It ain't got nothing to do with no damn sagging pants. The law never had anything to do with sagging pants. And what I don't like is you get older Negroes running around, man, that's right, these young folks need to pull their pants up. You dumb Sambo. You old, decrepit Sambo Negroes who talk that. Who sit up there and co-sign these white supremacists targeting your damn children. You cowardly buck dancing butter biscuit Sambos who talk that garbage.
Yeah, you better pull your pants up. The police need to come get you.
Sambo Negroes. You cowardly buck dancing buffoon. That's disgraceful, because deep down you know that it ain't about no sagging pants, but you sitting around ranting about sagging pants, and you get that, that helps you hide your cowardice. Because you too scared to do something. You too scared to protect your kid from this beast. You too chicken shit to go out here and get at one of these fools for targeting your babies. So you have to go along with it like you got some kind of moral high ground. Yeah, y'all young folk don't know how to wear your clothes. Man, y'all, that's, I'm glad they got these laws again, y'all. And then you wonder why you up in a nursing home by your damn self. Your kids don't give a shit about you. But the laws are never about no sagging pants. That's just a proxy to attack black people, period. Because truth be told, what the hell is that? Most black youths, they're not wearing baggy clothes like that. See, the whole law is about if you wear baggy clothes that are sagging and hanging and all this stuff. Most young folks ain't even wearing baggy clothes like that. Most young people today are wearing goddamn skinny jeans. The clothes are so damn tight, it can't sag. So it's not about no sagging clothes. What constitutes sagging? You understand? What the hell constitutes sagging? Well, I'm white and I say so. You can have your pants pulled up like Steve Urkel all up on your stomach, and a race soldier can walk up and say, well, you sagging, and I'm going to arrest you. You're sagging and you just violated the law. No, my pants up to my stomach. That's sagging to me. Sagging clothes went out during the damn first B2K album. Sagging clothes. Ain't nobody wearing baggy, saggy clothes like that. Nobody's doing that. You dig? What's up? Somebody in the room, let him eat cake. He's talking about somebody being in the movie that's talking about the status correction. Let me tell you something. That don't matter. Negro, and thank you for the 20, by the way. We are at war. These white supremacists are waging war on us. You up here in the chat room talking about a petty, dumbass difference that's insignificant as hell. What you're saying don't matter in a damn war. What you're saying is completely insignificant. You're talking beauty shop, single mama talk. Everybody, we might have some ideological differences, and that's okay. That's grown folks stuff. I'm not going to agree with everybody. I don't have to agree with everything everybody says in order to work with them. We don't have time for that goofy ass nonsense. We don't have time for that. Yeah, we're going to have certain differences about certain things. See, that's scaredy cat talk. Y'all want to sit up here and petty gossip and all that so you don't have to strap them boots on and get ready. We ain't got time for that, dude. We grown ass men and grown ass women out here. That's going to discredit what you say. Stop it. That baby-fied, childlike mentality that's prevalent in our community, that's going to have to get thrown out the window. We don't have time. That's just a way for you to stall. Y'all stalling. That's a stalling tactic. That ain't nothing but a damn stalling tactic to sit on your ass and sit on your bussy and gossip. Ain't no bussy sitting no more. Well, stop that. And thank you for the donation. And put the rest of your change back in your bussy. And keep it there for safekeepings. But we don't have time for little gossipy ass differences. Somebody in here in colors I don't like. I don't give a damn.
I don't give a damn about who somebody, you don't like this person, you don't, I don't give a damn. We ain't there. I put people in the movie who's spitting some hot fire, some good information that needs to be put out there, and that's all that matters right now. They're putting out good information, and I'm cool with them. Some of y'all might have had some dealings with folks. Y'all work that out with them. You work that out with them. If you had some differences with them, you work that out. You dang? I don't give a damn about that. Let me tell you something. With Ava DuVernay, Ava, she's tweeted some stuff and has some connections that I don't like, but I enjoyed her movie. The movie had a great message, and I enjoyed it. You know why I enjoyed it? Because I'm a grown-ass man. I'm a grown man. And I take a message when I can get it, and if it's a good message, I'm running with it. Let me tell you something. Richard Spencer is a hardcore white supremacist, and I wouldn't be around Richard Spencer to save my life. That's an arch enemy. But Richard Spencer dropped some good ass game. Do you know I can get some good game from Richard Spencer? Do you know Richard Spencer drops great game? You better learn how to soak up some game where you can get it. Richard Spencer drops hot fire when you listen to him. Meaning, when he says, look, I don't care about integrity, fairness. Yeah, I care about winning. Yeah, I don't care about being called a coward or whatever. As long as I'm winning. I respect that because we need to think like that. We need to think like that. Now, again, they'll sprinkle some deception on top of it when they get around us, but when they're around each other, they know how to spit real talk in order to maintain power. Richard was like, I only care about dominance, winning and dominance. I don't forget about morality. What the hell is that? We can learn from that. We can learn from that. We've been slipping on that for the last 500 years, trying to take the moral high road. That's why the white supremacists love promoting that moral high road thing with us. They love doing that. Well, Dr. Martin Luther King took the moral high road. He was nonviolent. He learned how to love his enemies. They love promoting that. That moral high road. They love promoting that when they're laying you down 6 feet under after they done blown your brains out. But we killed him, but he has the... He has so much moral strength. That's why they love promoting Michelle Obama. When they go low, we go high. They love promoting movies like The Help. Black folks getting dominated and mistreated. But you're taking the moral high road. You got so much dignity while you're being mistreated. I'm learning from the Richard Spencer. Hell no. No. None of that moral stuff. If I'm not winning, why am I even in the game? We got to start thinking like that. We have to think like that. We got to start thinking about winning at all cost. You dig? But the thing is, we have to understand that these white supremacists are so hella on code right now. And again, we're never supposed to be portrayed as a victim. Did y'all see, this has been trending today, the NBA player Lowry. Kyle Lowry? What's Lowry's first name? Lowry, they're having the playoffs right now. And I don't watch it. I'm not a big sports fan like that. Kyle Lowry. Okay, so Kyle Lowry, he was playing and then, you know, he was in the middle of a game and he fell into the front seats. He kind of tripped up and kind of fell down. Kyle Lowry, who does he play for? Who does Kyle Lowry play for? Help me out, guys. Because again, I don't watch this stuff. I don't watch it like that. But I want to have all the. He plays for the Raptors. Okay, he plays for. So they're playing. So he falls into the stands in the front seats, and a white man who happens to be a minority owner with the Warriors. So Kyle he falls down in the stands a little bit, and this white guy, his name is Mark Stevens. Mark Stevens shoves him. He shoves Lowry and then starts telling him to fuck off and cursing him out. And then Kyle kind of, you know, yelled back at the guy. So Kyle didn't do anything to him. And, you know, you found out that this guy, he's a minority owner in the Warriors, and he's worth like $2 billion. And, you know, the league was like, okay, yeah, what we're going to do, we're going to fine him $500,000, and we're going to ban him from the games for like a year or something like that. Some real weak slap on the wrist. And a lot of folks were looking at this like, okay, well, there should be more stiff punishment than that. Yeah, there should be more stiff punishment than that. You assaulted this guy. And this is interesting. A lot of the sports blogs, they were trying to, again, they didn't want to put Lowry in a victim position. So they were saying Lowry got into an altercation with a fan. That's how they were framing it at first. It wasn't an altercation. Lowry didn't hit that guy. Lowry didn't do anything to the guy. The guy just reached over and just shoved this man while he was playing a damn game. This white man did this, and the white man ain't really being punished. This white man is worth he's worth $2 billion, and $500,000, that's pocket change to him. But this just shows how the NBA and these sports leagues, they're run like plantations. And these guys think that they're really plantation owners. And they can kind of smack around the slaves as they see fit. They just smack the slaves around as they see fit. And people are like, well, damn, the guy he's not going to get charged. He's not going to get arrested. I mean, damn, he assaulted a player in the middle of a game. And I don't want to hear all that. Well, he got a lot of money. Don't let the white supremacists run that money game, that it's not his whiteness. He just, it's money privilege. Bill Cosby has a lot of money. Where is Bill Cosby now? Do you know 500K? That's pocket change to a billionaire. That's like fining the average working person $100. Now, y'all remember, I think 2017, where Charles Oakley, when he was up there at Madison Square Garden at that Knicks game, and he got into an argument with the security there, and they grabbed him, and then he pushed the security guard off. Y'all remember that, when Charles Oakley did that? The security guard grabbed him, and Charles Oakley, he's a former player, and he pushed the security guard, and they arrested Charles Oakley and booked him that night. It wasn't no, hey, let's go over this. Let's have a meeting. They arrested Charles Oakley's black ass that night and booked him. The New York PD booked his ass that night. And they started it with him. Y'all look that up. Don't let them tell you this ain't about race. This was a damn security guard he got into it with, and they booked him and banned him. But they made sure to book him, though. They weren't just going to ban him and fine him. No, 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 no. They made sure that he got booked that night. You dig? So this Mark Stevens guy, he assaulted a player in the middle of a damn game. And they're sitting up here acting like, well, we'll really show him with that 500K ban, with that 500K fine. He's going to learn. You dig? So don't. Y'all have to keep up the narrative that it's about race. See, the thing is, black folks get scared to say that it's about race. You have to call out systematic white supremacy and racism. Don't give a damn about them moaning and groaning about it. Black folks get afraid. Black folks get scared to call out racism. Because remember, in white society, they don't want to never show you as a victim. They never want to portray you as a victim, so they're always going to find a way to justify it. And just like in that movie, When They See Us, very good movie, talks about the Central Park Five, these black children who were framed and put in prison, and just some of them were just brutalized in prison for years. Some of them were brutalized in prison for years. It was a very good movie. It shows how the corrupt ass NYPD at the time coerced them into giving phony confessions because, you know, they were like, look, if you just tell us you did it and you can go home. You just tell us you did it and you can go home. They were playing that game. And unfortunately, some of the parents were going along with it. And that's another thing. Black folks, when black folks get in the room with these race soldiers, black folks get terrified and just do whatever they say. Black people, especially my young black folks, if you ever get in a situation where you're in a room with some race soldiers, you're being interrogated, they pick you up or whatever, just don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. All my black kids out there, I don't give a damn what your mama and your daddy tell you. If you ever get in that room, don't you say one word. Keep your damn mouth shut. Don't let them scare you. Just say you did it, you'll go home. Because they'll keep you in there. You scared, you hungry. Don't say nothing. Don't ever say anything. Don't say jack. Don't say nothing. 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 I did a broadcast about that years ago. The art of shutting the hell up. Learn how to shut up. Black folks talk too much. That's why when you look at First 48, Negroes, you know, growing up around single moms, you hear them run their mouth and niggersplain nonstop, and you get around these race soldiers trying to do that. You think you're going to babble your way out of it, and then they trip you up, and then you get 100 years. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say where you were not. No, lawyer. Once they get you in that room, it's lawyer, lawyer, lawyer. That's all you say. Lawyer, 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 lawyer. Do not say anything. But again, these boys, they coax these children into making these false confessions. And this Latino dude who ended up raping, he was the one who raped this white woman because this story was real big at the time. Y'all have to remember the climate back then, and not just back then, even now. You know, they've always had this perverse fantasy, and that's really what it boils down to. And Dr. Wilson broke this down. It's a fantasy that the white supremacist society have about black men going around raping white women. That's a sexual fantasy. That's why they make porn movies like that. They always make these porn movies about white women getting gang banged by brothers. Those are some of the biggest selling porn movies. But this whole thing about a white woman getting gang raped by black men, that's that perverse fantasy thing that they've been having for years. That's what, and I talked about this before, the Roe versus Wade, the abortion law. The abortion law got passed because Jane Roe, which was the woman being represented in the Roe versus Wade, she lied and said a bunch of black men gang raped her and she wanted an abortion and they wouldn't let her get an abortion because she got gang raped. And that was the thing that got that thing passed. And that's why Gloria Allred started representing that woman. And, you know, Gloria Allred, she made her bones on going after black men. That's where the money is. So even in that case, there's always a racial element to it. There's always that racial undertone. And remember, this was in the 80s in New York. In New York, people were still reeling from the whole Bernard Goetz thing. Some years earlier, this white vigilante Bernard Goetz shot a group of black men. And they were protecting Bernard Goetz. Because white society there, they wanted the blacks to be in control. They, you know, that was the height of the crack era. You got a lot of black folks out here hustling, a lot of black folks out here with money. So black folks weren't being controlled like they were supposed to be. And Ed Koch was the mayor of New York in the 80s, and he was, you know, he was corrupt and he was on some BS. So there was a lot of black folks fighting back from the racism out there. You had the whole Bensonhurst situation out there. And even the movie Do the Right Thing, they talked about how black folks, that retaliatory spirit that black folks were having out there in New York. Black folks didn't want to sit up and be abused by white supremacy anymore. So many black folks were fighting back. You had Colin Ferguson. Yeah, y'all remember Colin Ferguson, that brother who got on the subway and started bussing on white folks? And those guardian, they had those white vigilantes, guardian angels out there on the subways in the 80s. And I remember, because at the time I was living in Alabama, and I remember seeing them do a story about the guardian angels on 2020. It was a show called 2020, and they were talking about the guardian angels. And the way they were framing it, they were framing it like the guardian angels was up there in New York just running things. These white, and some of them like white Hispanic guys, are running around the subways with berets, these red berets, like they were in the military, kind of. And the narrative was that the guardian angels was riding the subways, protecting the good white people. And I'm like, damn. Yeah, they were the original Proud Boys. You dig? And the leader of the guardian angels, he's like on some right-wing bullshit now. His name is Curtis something. He's one of them right-wingers, one of them Trump-supporting right-wingers right now. Curtis, what's Curtis's last name? That piece of garbage. But yeah, the way the media was trying to make it seem like the guardian angels are running things. The guardian angels got all those darkies and the Negroes. Yeah, Curtis Silva. Yeah, I think that's his name. And then I started talking to dudes from New York. And I brought that up. I said, yeah, man, y'all safe up there? You know, the guardian angels really holding it down. They were like, what? Them niggas laughed in my face. Guardian angels? Nigga, are you serious? Nigga, I slapped the shit out of a guardian angel. They ain't running nothing up here. See, man, we stomp guardian angels for lunch. They ain't running nothing up here. Them niggas laughed in my face. They said, man, I wish a damn guardian angel would. Man, please. Them dudes are clowns. Them dudes are jokes, son. Them niggas got on the phone. Yo, son, old dude said the guardian angels running shit. That's what I said. They were clowning. Yeah, I heard from on the streets, them dudes used to beat the brakes out the guardian angels up there in New York. You had some hardcore hitters up there. You had them little street crews running around New York, the Decepticons and all those dudes. You had some hitters up there. They weren't playing games like that. But the thing is, also in New York, you know, around 89, that's when in the early 90s, they had David Dinkin, the black mayor. They had him there. So just like with Obama, when they get a black elected official there, the white supremacists always feel like they're losing some power. They feel like they're losing power. So if they can't get at that black elected official, they'll get at other black people by proxy. So them getting at those five Central Park youths, you know, that was them, you know, kind of getting back at Dinkins and just kind of showing the blacks what it is, severely punishing these five black kids. And they were a proxy for all the black kids in New York. It was to teach them all a lesson. You dig? Yeah, New York back then was a monster. New York wasn't no joke back then. So, you know, they wanted to make an example out of some black youths. So, you know, you have that prosecutor up there, Linda Fairstein, and she was the white female prosecutor who concocted this whole case together, knew it was BS, but you know, we're one big Negro. So that's all she needed to parade around in the media and get this case tried and get the guys convicted. You know, they knew that there wasn't any DNA evidence. They moved the timeline back and forth. Say that, look, they knew good and well these particular boys did not rape that white woman. But you got to understand how white supremacy works. White supremacy is all about getting rewards based on how severely you can punish and mistreat black people. White supremacy is all about how severely you can punish and mistreat a black person. You can get rewarded based on the level of mistreatment you can inflict on black people. And if you can do it on a number of black people, you will really get rewarded. And this woman prosecuted these boys. She got a whole bunch of them at once, and she was rewarded for that. I mean, they propped this woman up. I mean, she was the top prosecutor. I mean, Glamour magazine praised her. She was the woman of the year, and Glamour magazine just recently apologized. Now everybody's splaining now. Now that this movie came out, everybody's doing a lot of splaining. Well, we gave her a reward. We were on the wrong side of history. So I don't like this whole apologizing 20 and 30 years later. They were propping this piece of garbage up. They were propping her up. This woman got all types of book deals. She became a successful author off that steam of prosecuting and severely punishing these black children. White society just gave her the red carpet. She ate off that for years and years and still eating off of it. Now they splaining left and right. See, they make their bones on punishing us. See, that's what the whole OJ thing was. See, everybody was about to get their career popping by getting OJ. Everybody had, they were waiting on those $1 million book deals. It was going to be a big money grab. They got a big one. They got a big Negro they're going to punish. They're going to punish OJ. And then when Johnny Cochran flipped it on their ass, the world was falling. And another thing about the OJ's thing, and this is very indicative of a lot of other trials, in the movie, when they see us, one of the white lawyers for the black kids, he was like, "Whoa, I don't want to put race into it now." And you notice a lot of cases where they want to be on code. This is why when these race soldiers kill black folks and if it goes to trial, the people who's supposed to be representing the black person, they damn near throw the case. The way they act like they're working for the prosecution. They'll damn near throw the case in favor of the race soldier, and they're supposed to be defending the black person. Because see, they don't want to put race into it, and generally, they know that it's about race, but they're trying to save their own asses. Whenever you see a white lawyer talking about, no, let's not put race into it, he's trying to save his own ass. He's trying to save his own ass, because if you start putting other white people on blast for their racism as a white person, if you're doing that, you're getting off code. That's you getting off code. And white society, they punish other white people who get off code. That's what happened in the OJ trial. Remember, Johnny Cochran made them put race on the forefront because it was about race. With Mark Furman, they brought out all of Mark Furman's racism. So all those white lawyers, they were making those white lawyers put it on out there too. Johnny Cochran took the lead of that, and he put it on Front Street. Boy, those lawyers, all those white lawyers that OJ had, after they won, white society was turning on them. Robert Shapiro, Rob Kardashian, white society was turning on them. F. Lee Bailey, I think F. Lee Bailey even got charged for something. They booked him on some bogus charge, and F. Lee Bailey, he was one of OJ's lawyers. I think he got disbarred. So white society started to punish those white people for getting off code. How dare you point out our racism and use it against us? So they went out of their way. They were Bob Shapiro. They were they ruined him professionally. Yeah, you can't go. You can't break code like that in white society. That's why these white lawyers are always talking about, let's not say anything about race. Oh, no. You think? When they know it's about race, they just want to cover their own ass. The name of the game for them is to stay on code. Yeah, I'm representing you, but what's more important than the money you're giving me is my white privilege. You can't put a price tag on white privilege, buddy. You cannot put a price tag on white privilege. And you know they really hated Johnny Cochran. Let me tell you something. Johnny Cochran, at the time of the OJ trial, Johnny Cochran, he was getting more death threats than OJ. And let me tell you, Johnny Cochran was so on code, that brother stayed on code, and the city protected him. Nobody black was going to let anything happen to no damn Johnny Cochran. White society, they knew. If anything happened to Johnny Cochran, you saw what just happened a couple of years ago, and everybody knew. Nothing better not happen to no damn Johnny Cochran. Brothers was standing outside with a match waiting on something to happen. So Johnny was out there getting it in, and then when he came up to court with the Nation of Islam, everybody just really lost their minds then. And that Ron Goldman's dad, one of the guys who got killed with Nicole, Fred Goldman, him and his little racist ass family. By the way, with Fred Goldman's family, his daughter was out there co-signing George Zimmerman. Fuck them. I have no sympathy for them and their damn racism. I have no sympathy for them and their racism. None. Just so you'll know, that Goldman family, they were co-signing George Zimmerman killing Trayvon Martin. They were co-signing that. But Fred Goldman was, he's out there with Farrakhan. Johnny Cochran is sick. Oh, he was having a fit. Johnny Cochran was giving them folks heart attacks. Johnny Cochran won that OJ trial. And then Johnny Cochran said, you know what? I'm about to get Geronimo Pratt out of jail. I'm about to get one of the Black Panthers out of jail. And went and did it. He went and got Geronimo Pratt out of jail. People were shitting on themselves with Johnny Cochran. They didn't know what to do. And then Johnny was about to represent the people from Tulsa. All those black folks, those descendants of the people from Tulsa. Johnny was about to get the bag for them. And then he was about to get that reparations thing popping. Then they said, no. Enough is enough. Then all of a sudden, Johnny mysteriously died. Johnny mysteriously died. Some brain something happened. But yeah, we know how that goes. Yeah, he was on code. He had a white, didn't that Johnny have a white wife back in the 60s or 70s? I think one of his earlier wives might have been white, and they were trying to use that to discredit him. All the white supremacists were trying to use that. I remember Geraldo tried to, with his racist ass, and Geraldo, he was one of these people who tried to pretend to be a person of color, talking about he was Puerto Rican and Jewish. And all. He's a suspected white supremacist. There's nothing ethnic about him. He's just another anti-black racist. Just because he fought with the Klan, that's another thing. Geraldo tried to play this whole thing. Yeah, I fought with the Klan, and I'm like one of you guys. He's another anti-black racist. And when Johnny Cochran was doing his thing, Geraldo would have shows back-to-back trying to throw Johnny Cochran under the bus. And Geraldo brought a whole bunch of women out on his show one time talking about trying to get the women to say that Johnny Cochran abused them. I remember that like it was yesterday. Geraldo's punk ass got a bunch of women who knew Johnny Cochran somehow. They might have known him back in the 60s or 70s, but he was trying to force these women to say that Johnny Cochran somehow abused them or pushed them or something. He was so desperate to get something on Johnny Cochran. They couldn't smear Johnny. You think? But I say that to say these people, again, these people in the law profession, they make their bones on severely punishing black people, especially these white supremacist women. Especially these white supremacist women. As a matter of fact, when you look at white women in the dominant society who are somehow public figures or somehow significant or so-called influential, when you think about it, outside of singers and actresses, can you name a white woman in American history who's been a significant figure who has not got her significance based on anti-black hatred? I want y'all to think about that for a minute. Think about that. How many, this is a test for the chat room. How many white women throughout U.S. history, I'm not talking about singers or actresses, because it's easy to say, well, Madonna, Meryl Streep, no. Name a white woman who has any kind of significance whose significance wasn't based on anti-black racism. Let's play this game. See, Amelia Earhart, that's basically a white woman who got lost. And I heard she was on some racist shit back in the day. Jane Elliott, but Jane Elliott is, and she's not significant in white society. Jane Elliott is more underground. Jane Elliott is a pariah within white society. And a lot of black folks are scared of her too because she tells the truth. Bette Midler's an actress. Sarah Palin, come on. You better look up some of the stuff Sarah Palin has said. Is it Jane Goodall? Jane Goodall, she plays the female Tarzan, basically. But she goes over to Africa and tames the animals. Helen Keller. Okay. But Helen Keller, she couldn't see, so she don't know what a nigga is. She couldn't see. And she couldn't say nigga. But wasn't she mute? So we don't know. She was thinking it. Helen Keller was mute, so she couldn't say nigga. But it was probably in there. You think? Betsy Ross, please. Jane Fonda's an actress. Ellen is an actress. Yeah? But yeah, look at Hillary. Hillary Clinton, she's a significant figure. And remember, we got the super predators. Remember that? I mean, look at these women. Look at these significant women. The woman of the year, this woman in the Central Park Five, she became a very influential, significant woman based on anti-black hatred. Let's go back. They like to bring up Susan B. Anthony. They love bringing her up. She came up off anti-black racism. Susan B. All those early white feminists were on some anti-black racist stuff. Who else? They love bringing up Margaret Sanger. We know her get down. 100% anti-black racism. You ding? Like Ann Coulter, give me a break. Susan B. Anthony was racist as hell. Martha Stewart, basically a television personality. Like Eleanor Roosevelt, she wasn't a real friend of black society. You know, she was, when they were trying to get lynching bills and all this stuff passed, she wasn't going for that. She pretended to be a friend. Gloria Steinem, boy, give me a break. Give me a break. Gloria CIA Steinem, she's the one putting all that anti-black male garbage in her magazine and Miss Magazine, and she was one of the people orchestrating the rift between black men and black women. She was the one who put out that book by that Michelle Wallace lady. She was promoting that. I'm telling you, all these, you look at some significant white women outside of singing and acting, damn near all of them got their bones based on cultivating anti-black racism. You dang? So we got to understand, and Shahrazad Ali told us this. I remember during the Trayvon trial, the media kept talking about how there was a lot of white women that was going to be on the jury and how, you know, they're going to be sympathetic to Trayvon Martin's mother because they're women and they have children. And Shahrazad said, man, will you give me a break? You think these white supremacist women are going to go against their white husbands? These white women are the worst. They worse than the white supremacist males. The white supremacist female is way more vicious. That's one thing that black folks do not understand. The white supremacist women, they are way more vicious. Because again, the white supremacist woman, just like I pointed out, outside of anti-black hatred, if they don't have a talent like singing or acting, their only thing is white supremacy. That's the only thing they got. If a white woman can't sing or act, the only thing she got is white supremacy and giving birth to a damn white supremacist. Somebody said Wonder Woman. Let me tell you something. The dude who created Wonder Woman was a eugenicist. He was down with Margaret Sanger. Wonder Woman was based on Margaret Sanger's cousin. Google that. We talk about that in Hidden Colors 5. Somebody said Wonder Woman. Even female cartoon characters were even based in racism. And Gloria Allred, I just broke that down. You dig? Yeah. Google that. We talk about that in HC5. The dude who created Wonder Woman was a eugenicist. He was part of the eugenicist movement. You understand? We don't understand how deep the racism goes with these folks, man. But again, the white supremacist female who ain't got no talent, her only job is to give birth to another white supremacist. That's her only job. We better understand that dynamic. There's no sympathy from these people. Don't think for a minute that she's going to be somehow kinder or gentler with her racism. You understand? And somebody keeps mentioning Jane Goodall. I don't trust no damn Jane Goodall over there in Africa. No telling what Jane Goodall is over there doing and bringing to the people over there. I don't trust no damn Jane Goodall. Everywhere these folks go, they go over there, well, I'm about to go over here and feed the rhinos, and all of a sudden the whole village get a disease and they get wiped out. I don't trust any of these people over in Africa. None of them. Any of these non-African people over there, these white people, I don't trust none of them over there. None of them. None. You dig? Anyway, let me get up out of here. That's been today's episode. I've been on here for a long time, man. We've been chopping up some real good game for a long time tonight. How long have I been on here? Damn. I've been on here for a minute. Anyway, y'all, everybody go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get your tickets to see Hidden Colors 5 coming to theaters all over August 1st. If you're in L.A., the premiere is going to be July 31st, Wednesday, one night premiere out here in L.A. Join me, other celebrities there. It's going to be nice. It's going to be popping. You're going to be the first to see it. Everybody go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to see the show times and the locations of the theaters near you. Again, all my Bay Area people, hit me up and let me know some theaters out there I can get. All my Detroit people, hit me up. Let me know some theaters I can get out there in Detroit, my good family. All right? Y'all have a good night. I will holla.